Today's reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Please follow along as I read the holy word of God. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? O gracious God, may you be ever present among us. Send your Holy Spirit that we may hear with our hearts what you are calling us to be and do. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Well, once again, welcome to Resurrection United Methodist Church. My name is Julie Klaus. I'm so glad that you've joined us in worship. Today we're talking about obedience and grace. Grace being a gift, something we cannot earn. Obedience being something which requires work on our part, something for which we strive. So, today's scripture from the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, which literally means second law. The Israelites have been wandering in the desert, something like an 11-day journey that has lasted 40 years. Talk about not being obedient. Picture the Israelites camping in the meadow by the Jordan, looking across the hills of the promised land with Moses, who is now about 120 years old. Moses is asking for a wholehearted commitment to obey God, telling them if they do, they will enjoy a long life. If they're careful to obey, all will go well with them. The same is true for us. Now, when I talk about this kind of obedience, I'm talking about an obedience grounded in love and fear or respect for God. This is not like when the boss tells us to do something and we obey, but then complain about it later to our coworker. I never do that, by the way. God sees our hearts. Everything God commands us is for our good. In Him, we find our identity, our purpose, provision, and protection. God is revealed to us in Scripture. He does not masquerade or pretend or change. He's not someone's invention, but reveals Himself as the Almighty Creator of all that is good. And the best part is this perfect, magnificent, awesome ruler of the universe actually takes notice of us and wants to connect with us in a relationship of love that involves every part of who we are. How amazing is that? Verse 5 of this scripture is something most of us are familiar with. It reads, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Jesus Himself identified this verse as the single most important commandment. Loving God is more than just sentiment. It requires everything we are. That is spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and physical. It's more than words, more than songs we sing. Don't just tell God you love Him show him. Don't worship out of a feeling of obligation or duty. This verse commands us to love with all our heart, all our soul. And strength is not just muscle. It's what we're made of. Our very substance. God created us in his image with a mind so we can understand things about him and come to know who he really is. He gave us emotions so we can respond to him with heart and feeling. And we have free will, so we choose. We make the choice to love him with every fiber of our being, every resource, all we've got. That's easier said than done. I wonder, how are we doing at loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength? God's love never changes. He always loves us fully and completely. He looks at us with patient and loving eyes, giving encouragement and strength as we call out to him. Are we returning his love? As many of you know, I'm a new grandparent. My beautiful new granddaughter, Kana, was born 9 days ago. I had the pleasure of giving her a bottle yesterday. Oh, boy. And looking down at her, I was completely overwhelmed with emotion. Thinking about the adventures we'll have, hearing her call me Nana for the first time, throwing her little arms around my neck and telling me she loves me. I can't wait for those moments. I think the love of a parent or grandparent is a picture of God's love for us. Initially, we cannot return his love, but he keeps on loving us, nurturing us, taking care of our every need. Then at some point, we have the opportunity to respond to that love. But regardless of what we decide, God never stops loving us. God loves us and wants us to share in his life and experience joy and bring him joy through our love and obedience. Our obedience delights the creator of the universe. Scripture tells us he would much rather have that than our sacrifices. We need to love him back with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. If we love God with all our heart, then what he tells us will be on our heart. Obedience is the expression of our love for God. It's not enough to have affection for God, to think nice thoughts about him. Who he is requires all that we are. Our love, our obedience, and our loyalty. Do you feel like you have an intimate relationship with God? I know sometimes I feel like he's not listening. We go through those seasons. Sometimes it's because of sin. We build a wall of sin that hinders our intimacy with God. God can hear us, but our sins can cut us off from God, making it seemingly impossible to have the intimate relationship we long for. Now, let me be really, really clear here. If you're a Christian and you sin, you're still a Christian. Just because you sin doesn't mean you're out of the game. As Christians, we are covered by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for each one of us. Our past sins, our present sins, our future sins. But the reality is, if we continue living with an unrepentant sin, in other words, we're just sinning and we're not sorry and we're not turning away from it, that is going to negatively affect the potential of intimacy with God. I came across an illustration for this. Let's say we sin against our spouse. Would we still be married? Yes. Would we be as close to our spouse if we continued to sin against him or her? No, of course not. Imagine telling a huge lie to your spouse. It's like putting down some bricks between the two of you. Then let's say we talk down to our spouse. Another brick. Verbally abusive. More bricks. Continually disrespectful. More bricks. Looking lustfully at a member of the opposite sex. Lots more bricks. Are we still married? Yes. But if there are no apologies, if we're not turning from those behaviors, what's happening? A wall of sin is being built, brick by brick. We are called to confess our sin, which means we need to know who God is and learn his commandments. We need to learn what God expects from us so we know how to please him. I remembered when I made a decision for Christ, I became very aware of my sin. Willful ignorance is no excuse for disobedience to God. We have numerous opportunities to learn what God expects from us. We have Bibles, online resources, adult ed classes, Bible studies, literally thousands of ways to learn and discover how to please God. The Bible is not a list of rules to follow so you'll be good enough for God. That's not how it works. When we come to God, trusting him to forgive us and make us right with him based on what Jesus did for us through his death on the cross and resurrection, then, by the blood of Christ, we are able to be in relationship with a perfect and holy God. And by his grace and power at work in us, we have the power to do the things he commands us to do in the Bible. Do we know what's important to God? If we don't study his book, we won't know how to please him. Are the things that are important to God important to us? Do we care about what he cares about? Study his word, learn his commands, and with his help, obey what he says. And then we need to pass these things on to our children and to all who will listen. Because this isn't just about you. It's not just about any single one of us. It's about everyone around us getting to know the God of the Bible, because he's clearly visible in our lives. So, how's our hearing? Are we listening to God and his word so we'll know who he is? How's our hearts? Do we love God with all our heart, life, and strength? Are we actively involved in learning more about Him and what He asks of us? And finally, are we leading our family and others in our life closer to knowing who God is? Does God ever show up in our conversations at home or elsewhere? He should. Shouldn't our thoughts be turned toward the one who made us, the one who is responsible for our very existence? Unfortunately, many of us fail to recognize who God is because we aren't listening for Him. We aren't loving Him with everything we are. We aren't learning or leading well. The good news is that God's love is still being poured out on us because He's generous like that. It's who He is. And He is calling us to listen and respond to Him. He simply asks for repentance where we have failed Him. But He is more than willing to step in and help us become the people of God. Listen, love, learn, lead. With God's help, we can. If you need God's help today and want to begin to do life with Him, just take a moment, express that to Him. He'd love to hear from each and every one of us. Tell Him what's on your heart. Ask Him to teach you to listen and love as you learn more about Him. Will you pray with me? God, I thank You today for those who desire even more of You. God, I pray that Your Spirit would reveal Your heart to us as we seek You. God, I pray that we would be a church full of people that desire to know You, to know Your heart, to know Your will, to know Your voice, and to glorify You in all that we do. And God, I thank You that as we seek You, You will reveal Yourself to us. And God, we won't be the same because we've been in Your presence. God, reveal Yourself to us as we seek to know You and to do Your perfect will. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.